So when you get older, your thoughts are when we get older, our thoughts kind of wander a little bit, quite a bit. So I was thinking this week about introducing our speaker. So I'm going to read you something that I thought about when I was having a nap one time this week. A long time ago, when we lived in Bellwood, my boss called our minister, Preacher Peter Perkins. And that wasn't even close to his name. I have no idea why he called them that. And it's really puzzled me for a long time. So I was thinking about Pastor Paul Percy, prefers Pensacola Pete's precarious prediction pertaining to perilous precipitation. But we're in Bruce County now. So our very own Wired Willie warrants wonder a week from tomorrow. So as Pastor Paul makes his way up here, I'll just check to make sure there's no hidden glasses of water. Sound like it. What did you need me for something? You okay? Well, I get scared when heat comes up. Well, you gotta pray for John and family as they go to Florida. Wednesday, right? Yeah, that's when the big storm's gonna hit, I hear. Yeah. Right along I-95, yes sirree. Anyway, do pray for them, because this is pretty bad. They've got 800,000 people in Tennessee alone out of power. 10,000 flights have been canceled. And the highway guys are just waiting for Matt Zare to show up to help pull everybody out of the ditch. But and when I look at our snow, I'm happy. I don't know how you feel. We have a snow guy. We call him the snow guy affectionately until he sends me the bill, and I have a neighbor who wonderful guy, great neighbor. John got tired of coming over and picking me up off the driveway when I'd go try to shovel. So he shovels just the end of the carport, you know, where the snow guy always has to leave a bump. And so that's all shoveled off now. And then on garbage day, he comes and he takes our garbage from the end of the carport and puts it on the street for me. Huh? Boy, God is good. And we have an electric snow shovel. You ever seen them? Oh, you should get one. You really should get one. Go do a GoFundMe, but get. You know, man, I remember my days in Africa trying to shovel snow. It was fruitless. It really was. I want to talk to you today. We're with the theme, everybody needs a hug. Now, I don't want you to get too nervous. Because you know, we don't want you to get germs or anything now, so you know, you almost have to wear a mask if you're going to hug. It's just really unfortunate. But sometimes, you know, with all that's going on in our world today, and in our own lives, there are times we kind of need a hug. You know, Forrest Gump. Remember Forrest Gump? He said that. That Mama said that all life is like a box of chocolates. Remember that? Yeah. You never know what you're going to get out, and you know, life can be that way. It really can.
But the difference with life is you can't discard your circumstances. You know, you can't just take a little bit out of this one or something out of that one, and you know, just so that you can be, you know, comfortable. We all go through things in life, you know, that God ordains because we belong to Him, and He wants us to go through things. And some things are not very pleasant. He has a purpose for it, but they're not always that pleasant. You know, I thought I was spending 4 months in a resort. My wife never told me it was the General Hospital. But we do have these things. And our tendency is often when we pray for somebody, and I pray for a lot of you, especially those who are going through various health issues and circumstances. But, you know, there's the tendency to pray that God will take it away. And that's okay. That's not wrong. Or, you know, God healed them. But the thing to think about is, what does God want to do? You know, sometimes God just wants to show His love and His compassion and His comfort on us through difficult circumstances so He can use us. Sometimes we need to pray, God, help them to deal with the change that's going to be in their life. And that's hard. You probably know people who have changes in their lives, and they're mad. You know, they're mad at the world. I remember I was doing a fundraising banquet when I was with Hamilton Youth for Christ, and a couple who I knew, and in fact I went to school with them, I just heard that the day before he had gone blind suddenly from diabetes. And here they came down the street, you know, for my banquet, but you could just, I don't blame them, you could just tell the anger that's there. You know, like, don't look at me, you know, like, it's just, and I thought, well, what do I say? And I remember they came in to the banquet, it wasn't much later, when he kind of got a grip of things, and he had an incredible ministry as a blind person. You know, he was out speaking probably more than I was. And guys were amazed, because you electricians, he would change a light fixture in his house. He was blind. You know, so, you know, you couldn't do that, could you? Why don't we try? We'll have to try it. Now, this week after Crokinole, he's gonna change one of the light fixtures blindfolded. Oh, you're gonna be away?
Yeah,
sure. Excuses. All I'm trying to say is that we need to begin to look at the things that we experience in life. And not to say that, you know, you go around laughing, hey, I'm sick. But, you know, but to understand, God puts us through things in order to experience His comfort, His love in our lives. I mean, there are some things I would have never experienced if I hadn't been sick. I mean, I've got a medical report 100 pages long that could go into it could be a major manuscript. Dwayne The Rock Johnson's going to play me in the movie. But there's so much. Now, Paul says a good deal about this when he wrote to the Corinthians. Now, you've got to understand the Corinthians. That was really not a church you'd want to pastor. Be honest with you. It was wealthy and it was kind of wicked. And Paul wrote about 4 letters to the church in Corinth. We only have 2. And Paul had to go and meet with them over some issues, and he had to be, you know, the bad guy, Paul. But Titus had some members of the church met with Paul, told him about the immorality. Remember the guy, you know, who was immoral, the way they were abusing and mocking the Lord's Supper, the way they were turning their backs on the poor and just having their own little segregated table. We talked about that before. And Paul sent Timothy with a letter. Now, Timothy was probably not the right guy to go. Timothy was a super young man. He was a wonderful person, loved the Lord. Oh, and yet he was timid. And you know, you have to understand, a lot of times we figure, you know, if somebody's really, really firm and you know, kind of tough, and you know that he can't be a nice person. But sometimes you need those kind of people. And so he sent Titus at the next time he sent the letter. Titus, by the same age, very different personality. But when it was all said and done, you know, the church finally did come around, and he writes his second letter to them. And it's what he said in the second letter, especially in the first few verses, that is so incredibly good. And he introduces himself. You know, he always did that to make sure they understood the relationship. You know, that he was called by God to be an apostle. Now, again, we often think, you know, as we grow through life as Christians, oh, we should be like the New Testament church. Well, that's not, I don't want to sound like a bad guy here, but I'd rather focus on being like Jesus, because some of these churches really had issues. And especially when they had false teachers, you know, coming in to speak, you know, to try to turn them away from the Lord. Now, he had his detractors, and you know, when he writes to this, he writes to the church in Corinth, but together with all the holy people through Asia, Achaia. See, Paul's letters wouldn't just go to the church. Once they were written and read several times, they would be sent on to another church, and they would read them for a while, and they would send them on, you know, and so on. And so in Paul writing, he's trying to tell them, here are some things you need to be showing. Here are some things you need to keep in mind. And in verse 3, he says, praise God be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing we need to learn to do as Christians is learning how to praise God. I mean, truly, in your heart. You know, there are so many things that we can praise God for. You know, you don't have to wait until Thanksgiving or some special occasion. You know, Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesians, said, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Sometimes we don't know that because we don't look for it. We're too busy looking inward and feeling, you know, and feeling sorry for ourselves or whatever we're going through, and we don't see how God has really been blessing us. Now Peter, on the other hand, he says, when he wrote his letter, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. You know, I don't care what you're going through, but stop for a moment and realize the very fact you are adopted because of Christ's death on the cross into the family of God. You know, someday you're going to be in heaven, and you're going to enjoy heaven. God's presence. And Peter says, we need to remember that, how blessed we are. How blessed we are. You know, I am amazed at times when I see people who come from or in other countries who are, you know, going through persecution, and how happy they are. You know, I said, how can you do that? I mean, there are places in even in my own home country, Nigeria, where you know in the north, where people go to church on Sunday, and they don't know if that's going to be getting blown up or they're going to be shot to death. But they go and worship. Why? Well, because they belong to Jesus. Now, you know, that's always been disturbing because the government doesn't seem to be doing much about it. Except for one man who some people love and some people don't love. It's Donald Trump. Officially told me the government of Nigeria either correct this problem or we will. The news didn't go too far on it because they don't understand, you know, and the government started to make the correction. It's kind of cool. But when you see them and you talk to them and you see the joy in their faces, you go, well, how can you be so joyful under those circumstances? Well, because they understand and they know how blessed they really are. Peter, on the other hand, he says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation. You know, we need to be like David. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I don't know when I started, and I'm not really sure why, but I started to look back. Maybe when you get a certain age, I guess, maybe you start to look back. But I just look back at all the things that I can remember that, you know, God has done for me. You should do it sometime, you know. Make sure you're comfortable, you know, because you may also need a rest. But, but I'll just sit back and I'll just think. You know, no, I don't know really what happened when I drank the kerosene, but, you know, I nearly died, you know, and I didn't. But all the different things that God had, you kind of spared my life. But there are little things that God has done. You know, when I was in Canada and I was going to school, and I went to church one Sunday night, and to go to church, I went on my own. I'm not sure what the issues were, but I went and I took the bus. You had to take the bus in Scarborough, and you take it down to the Luttrell Loop, and then you had to catch a streetcar, which would take me, you know, by the church, and I'd get off. And then, you know, now you had to use two tickets, but that's okay. So I'm coming home from church, and it's nighttime, and I went to get on the bus, and I had my dime. All right, it's a long time ago, okay? Anyway, you understand, you know. But I had my dime, and I went to put it in, and the driver said, no, you can't use that. I said, why not? You're too tall. You remember they had those little lines on the, you remember those?
Yeah.
You know, godforsaken lines on those things. You know, yeah, my mom didn't realize I had grown, I guess. And all I had was, what am I going to do? There's nothing. The only thing around here was the Maple Leaf Dairy with ice cream. But I didn't have money for that either. What am I going to do? It's dark. I didn't have a cell phone. And then a guy from my class all of a sudden showed up. I said, listen, can you spare me another dime? Oh, sure. Just, you know, and I go home. You know, that's odd, you know. And I look back, I go, wow, God was sure being good to me. You know, he was sure being kind to me. Now, Paul says we should praise God because we belong to him. Just because you belong to him. But there are other things, there are other reasons why we need to praise God. And Paul says, God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Isn't that cool? He's the source of all comfort. You know, He is the Father of mercies, but the source of all comfort. You know, God in every aspect of His being is full of comfort, strength. He wants to help us. He wants to, you know, He wants us to just to calm down and take a few breaths. You know, and comfort is, you know, comfort is more than, you know, sympathy. You know, it's not, you know, come here and let grandma give you a hug. But that may work for, you know, for a certain age. But when you get to, you know, about 8 or 9, the only reason why you want to go to grandma's for money. You know, but you know what? But you know, but the Holy Spirit is there. He is our comforter. He is our advocate. No matter what you are going through, you know, learn to trust Him. Call on Him. And Paul is not throwing out some platitude or some, you know, little statement he read somewhere. You know, this comes from a heart that's, you know, that comes from his heart. It comes from, it just comes from, you know, his own experience. And he says, you can get comfort in difficult circumstances. His comfort, you know, he comforts us, Paul says, in all our troubles. You know, I mean, you can think, I bet you're thinking even now of something, where you went through an experience and, you know, boy, that really got to you and you were so upset. And, you know, and did God come and comfort you? Did you ask Him to come and comfort you? Did you want Him to come and comfort you? You know, it seems that, you know, when trouble comes and comfort comes with it. Like, you know, do you want comfort? You've got to have some trouble, it seems. We naturally want to avoid suffering, difficulty, persecution. One guy said, you know, we were talking about gifts, and somebody brought up the fact that martyrdom is a spiritual gift. And one guy says, well, I wouldn't mind that if it didn't hurt so much. You know, sometimes there are some things we don't mind, but, you know, if I know, I'll get better in 3 days. But just, you know what? You may not get better. Or you're going to have a rough time going at this. You know, and we need to understand that He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. And when Paul wrote to the Corinthians in Rome, you know, where there's a lot of, he says, troubles produce perseverance or endurance. You know, troubles produce something in us. Rick Warren, you know, you may know him from Saddleback Church. And, he's kind of retired, well, semi-retired, really. But he said back when he was starting out, he was just, he was ready to just end it. He just wanted to go into something else. You know, there's so much pressure and stress, I guess. And he was the guest speaker at the Thomas Road Baptist Church in Lynchburg with Jerry Falwell. And he said, I put in the pastor's office. It's like the green room, I guess, you know, when you're in showbiz. And he said he had a record of his sermon called The God of All Comfort. So he says, I listened to it. And he says, it really changed my mind. And he shared a few things. Now, my memory's not that great, but I do remember one thing that really caught my attention. He says, sometimes the Holy Spirit just says, suck it up and move on. You know, it's time to get on with your life. You know, stop feeling, you know, sorry for yourself. Just like my friend who went blind. You know, he just reached a point, and it didn't take long. He realized, you know what? This is permanent. You know, Lord, show me what you want me to do and where you want me to go, I guess, and things. And he had an incredible ministry. You know, because he was willing to accept the fact, you know, that God was there beside him. God was leading him. God was going to comfort him. God was going to look after him. Now, he's He has a sight now, because he's in heaven. You know, when you get to heaven, everything gets better, right? Mm-hmm. I think we all understand that, you know. And sometimes we get all sad when somebody we know who's had, you know, maybe many, many, many years of, but you know, difficult health issues, and you know, and the Lord takes them to heaven, and we're all upset. Why? They're in heaven. The only reason why we should be upset is because we'd like to be there too. You see, but Paul understood that, and Paul knew that. Now, another thing that he talks about is this, so, you know, not only does God, you know, come to us in all our troubles, you know, we all experience certain types of difficult circumstances, you know, but another thing he says, that our comfort can be shared. Our comfort can be shared. He says, he comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort others. And when they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. Now, this is especially true if you see someone going through something you've been through. You know, I hope you're willing to positively, you know, share with them, you know, what God did for you, you know, when you went through that. You know, and you can't always say that, and don't pretend you know everything when you haven't been through it, because you need to be through it to really understand. But here we find that he says, listen, you know, you may lose your job, you may lose your health, you may, you know, the death of a loved one, divorce, financial crisis. You know, you don't need all the answers or fancy cliches, even a Bible verse. You know, you're not asked to be a psychologist to make everything right. You need to just say, hey, I know what you're going through. I went through the same thing 2 years ago or 5 years ago or whatever. I went through it. Let me just pray with you. Let me just pray with you. You know, we all think that we have to, you know, we have to come up with, you know, like a mini sermon. But we have to find that verse, that right verse, you know, and people who are going through difficult times, to be quite honest with you, well, to be honest, they're getting sick of your sermons and sick of your Bible verses. You know, I went to visit a relative of ours whose son died tragically. He was 16 in an accident, and we went to the visitation, and as I went, you know, I went up to him, you know, I says, hey, Tommy, how you doing? He says, don't you hate Bible verses? He says, I'm getting so tired, you know, of people throwing a Bible. Now, the people mean well, okay, but sometimes you just throw the Bible verse at me. You know, so, you know, sometimes we just need to say, you know what, I'm praying for you. They said, I'll be praying for you. You know, and sometimes we're afraid to do that. We're afraid because, well, I don't pray very well. Well, that's okay. You don't have to pray well, because the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is a great translator. You know, you get those earbuds now that translate. Have you seen those on TV? I haven't got one yet, but actually I haven't needed one here. But you can get them if you're good. It'll do Italian or French, and it translates. Well, that's kind of how the Holy Spirit is. You know, God's in heaven, and he's got this little translator butt in, and the Holy Spirit's there, you know, and he said, what they're saying is, you know, and he gives a beautiful prayer. And the Lord said, that's a beautiful prayer. I think it was too, Lord, you know. And you go, like, you know, you don't have to worry about that. You just have to go to God with this open heart and you know, and an open mind, and say, Lord, I want you to pray for my friend. You know, and sometimes it's more a matter of, you know, help him to deal with what they're going through. You should, while I'm on that, you should also pray for the spouse. Because I think the spouse is, isn't that right, honey? I got it, you told me right here. No, they go through more than we do. You know, I just lay in bed, you know, I had food brought to me. I even had a PSW come and wash my hair while I was in bed. That is the coolest thing. That is the coolest thing. And I just couldn't hire her, and you know, but I mean, they did try to shave me, and we stopped that with a straight razor. Oh, oh, no way. I thought I was going to die on that one. You know, but all I'm saying is, we can share, and your comfort can be shared. And when you know somebody who's going through something you've been through, don't be afraid to call them up and say, hey, I hear you going through this. How are you doing? I went through this too. I want you to know I'm praying for you. That's all you got to do. That's all Paul says we should do. And even if you haven't experienced it, you know, you can still bring comfort. You don't feel that, well, I haven't experienced that, I can't pray. Sure you can. You know, just, you know, you don't have to go around giving all kinds of advice about something you know little about. You know, silence is golden. You know, pray with them. Just let them know, how can I help you? You know, do you need a hug? Yeah, there it is. You know, sometimes, you know, I had a man die in my church, the first church I pastored. And his son was in his 30s, and he was close to his dad. And, you know, as he was kind of dealing with the death, they knew it was coming because he had cancer, but it's still difficult. And another man in the church, you know, he was telling me later, oh yeah, you know, I took him out fishing. Why don't you guys open up? I took him fishing. He didn't say a bunch of stuff. He says, because I lost my dad too. You know, no big speech, just went fishing. You know, and so, you know, there are so many little things we can do. I'm not sure if archery is going to work or not, but you know, it's, you know, but I mean, there's so many things we can do. You know, even, you know, when we haven't had the experience, but even when we have, just, you know, just talk and tell them I'm going to pray for you. Now, there are a couple of thoughts in this. First of all, make sure that you're emotionally okay, you know, before you get into, you know, too much helping. Because in my experience, I have found sometimes, you know, people, once they've gone through something, and it's especially a divorce. I had a lady whose husband, actually he'd been a pastor, left her, and she had a good job, so financially, well, I don't think it was really an issue, but there are some other things in there, and I'm talking to her, how are you doing, you know, so on, and she says, and she, you know, like, you know, I mean, this just happened the day before type of thing, and now she wants to start an organization to help women, you know, around the world. And I'm thinking, well, you know, why don't you just wait until you get your life, you know, on an even keel first, and then move on, you know. You know, sometimes people, you know, you immediately, you know, you want to do, well, then that's, you know, that's honorable, but please, you know, please listen to what Paul says. He says, listen, just share with those who are going through these troubles. So that's the first thing. So make sure, you know, before you jump in right away, just make sure that you're okay, and you yourself are, you know, emotionally are stable. Another thing that we can do is to, you know, let people comfort you. Have you ever tried? Maybe you have. You know, have you ever tried to comfort somebody who doesn't want to be comforted? Like, you're there, and all you want to do is just go, and you just want to, you know, you pray with them. Now, I guess if you go with the wrong attitude, I can understand it. But, you know, if somebody comes, you know, they know you, you know them, you know, hey, listen, can I come and pray with you? Can I, you know, do you want to go for coffee? I mean, that's why God gave us Tim Hortons. You know, can we have a coffee? Or do you want to just go for a walk? Or, you know, let people comfort you. You know, I was so blessed with that. You know, both when I was down in Hamilton, you know, which is not the easiest place to get down to, but you know, a lot of you guys came, you know, to visit. And then later when I was here at the Chesley Resort, you know, in the hospital here, you guys came by and you helped me go home. I think, well, were you there? You and Ronnie, right? Yeah, were you around? Yeah, three, yeah, you're there staring at me right here. This must be of the Lord. All right, I've got something I've got to say to you guys. No, I had to learn to, like, I had to learn to walk. And I had to learn to get in the car, right? And these guys, they're like, bomb first, Paul. I'm the speaker here, okay? You know, and I didn't quite do it the first way, and I ended up on the parking lot with one leg in the air. You know, so they had to help, you know. But I learned, my friends were there, you know. I think they were arguing who's gonna pick them up. You know? Let's get Matt Vare over here at the tractor. You know, but you know, you've got friends there to help you, and so let people help. Okay, let them comfort you. And then the other is, you know, for those of you who are going to help, make sure when you go, it's a positive, uplifting experience. What do I mean by that? Well, sometimes some people, you know, they don't mean it, I mean, to be negative, but they'll come up and say, "Oh, I'm really sorry you guys had that surgery." You know, I read that somebody had the same surgery down in the States, and yeah, and they had worms eat them out. You know, and I heard the place in one hospital. Oh, yeah, I heard the doctors in that hospital took time off for a coffee break on a surgery. You know, have you ever had people who always come up with these negative kind of things? Huh? Colleen's saying, yeah, way to go, Don. But, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, be positive, okay? You don't have to bring up all the negative things. Just learn to be positive. Now, one of the things that... you know, I will help some, like I'll help pastors sometimes. If they're going through something I've been through, I'll call them up. If they don't want to talk, fine, but I'll say, hey, you know what, you know, I'm praying for you, I hope it works out. But listen, you know, don't beat yourself up, because every pastor goes through this type of thing. And it does happen. So, now, the other thing we need to, Paul wants us to understand, is that the more we suffer, the more comfort we experience. He says, for the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with his comfort through grace. Some people who have been going through a lot, my goodness, they're just, you know, they got God's comfort all over them like a cheap suit, you know? I mean, they're the, you know. Andy, isn't that right?
Amen.
Yeah, she goes on like, well, I'm more important than you, because I've got God's blessing all over me, you know? And we pray for her, and that's great, we've seen that. And she's somebody who gives us an example, you know, that Paul would love. But, so what he's really trying to tell us, you know, is that, you know, the more we go through, God's comfort will be there. It will be there. And then another thing is, he says, is suffering prepares us to help others. Now, a lot of people who have gone through suffering, you know, do come up with wonderful ministries. There are some wonderful ministries out there that have come because of suffering that somebody went through. And, you know, that is so important. He says this, for when we ourselves are comforted, we will certainly comfort you. then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We are confident that as you share in our suffering, you will also share in the comfort God gives us. You see, God is always there. You know, sometimes pastors don't, you know, really understand what some of their congregations are going through. And that's not a negative. It's just, you know, they've kind of grown up and went to, maybe gone to university or seminary, of course, and then they've gone to the ministry. But they've never worked in industry. You know, they've never had to get their hands really dirty. They've never had to, you know, work shift work. You know, they've never had to put up with foremans and managers and unions and all that sort of thing. And what makes you a good comforter is because of all the things God has allowed you to go through. When I was in high school, I was in a course called Science, Technology, and Trades. I don't know if some of you guys might remember that. STNT. And what it was to train guys who wanted to go into the trades. And so your first 2 years, 9 and 10, you took electricity, you took woodworking, you took sheet metal, machine shop, drafting, and then for 9 and 10 and 11 and 12, you specialized in the one thing you wanted to be. And it was great, because once you got done that, you're halfway through your apprenticeship. Some beanhead cancels it. Now, our teachers were good. You know why? Because they had been in the industry. And they had gone on to, school and got the training they needed to come and to teach auto mechanics. And they were the greatest teachers in the world, because they understood in many ways what life was like. And sometimes that's what we need to understand too, when we go through, these things. Now, Paul also talks about in the last couple of verses. We think you ought to know, our dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure, and we thought that we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. Now, no one knows what he's talking about, to be honest with you. Some think it might have been the riot at Ephesus, where, they wanted to, kind of kill them. We're not sure. But he says, we went through that. But at the same time, he says, God's comfort came and helped us get through. So it makes us depend on God. It does make us depend on God. When you feel helpless, when you feel heartache, when your stomach is in knots, when tears blind you, you have only one, you've only one real recourse, and that's to fall into the arms of Jesus. Fall in the arms of Jesus. In fact, we expected to die, but as a result, he says, we stopped relying on ourselves and learned to rely on God who raises the dead. And when you throw yourself into his arms, what happens? And Paul says, and he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. We have placed our confidence in him, and he will continue to rescue us. And that is the message we have to share. That is the message of comfort. That's why I titled my message, Everybody Needs a Hug. No. And evidently, I learned this. If you give a person a hug for 24 seconds, you will help their enzymes.
Endorphins.
Oh, sorry. What's that?
Endorphins.
Endorphins. I apologize. And it's, forget the enzyme thing, okay? It's endorphins, 24 seconds, all right? And we're not gonna do it here now, because a few of you guys are getting a little nervous. But yeah, that's what you need, 24 seconds, I've been told. Now, guys, I'm gonna tell you something, okay? Sometimes people cheat, and they want more than 24 seconds. It's just a caution, okay? The final thought is, don't diminish the value of prayer. And you are helping, you know, Paul says, you are helping us by praying for us, that many people will give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. You know, just go to God, you know, just empty your heart out with him. He's okay. He will comfort you. He will bring people by who can comfort you. He will allow you to experience things that we don't, that will comfort you. It really, really will. And you'll be able to sit back and look back and tell people, oh, look, you know, all the things God did for me. And I, you know, I see, and I, when I go back and do my little reminiscing, you know, it's just, you know, I'm just totally amazed at how faithful God is in the big things and in the little things. Mm-hmm. But he's always there. Now, I've always wanted to, and I never will, and I never can, even when I get to heaven, I probably won't be able to do it either, to sing. And there is one song, we're going to sing it, we're going to sing it this morning, because, you know, and I wish I could just kind of give a signal to, you know, Keith and, you know, and Florence, and they start playing, and I could just grab this mic here and just start singing this song for you. And then the worship team would come up, and they would back me up. The worship team can come up now, by the way. And they would, you know, and they would back me up. But we're not gonna do that. We're gonna sing the song. It's by Andre Crouch. You remember Andre Crouch?
Yeah.